Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father, we come with grateful hearts this day. This day that you have given us, we rejoice. We are glad in it, oh God. Oh, we just come to give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Belong to you, our King. You are righteous God. You are holy God. In the name of Jesus, you are refuge. You are fortress. My God, in you do we trust, oh God. Oh, Father God, I thank you that we will not lean to our own understanding, but we will lean to your understanding, oh God. I thank you that we have the mind of Christ, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for teaching our heads to war, our figures to fight in Jesus' name. And Father God, I thank you that we have wounded our enemies and they shall not rise anymore in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, I thank you that you set the fire against them and they are all burned up. In the name of Jesus, we close the door to every demonic rat that would try to attempt to come in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we bind and cast out every thief that would try to steal from us. Anything, in the name of Jesus, we bind and cast out any spirit that would try to steal our joy. In the name of Jesus, lift up a standard, dear Lord, against the flood of the enemy would try to bring into our lives, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we have pursued our enemies and overtaken them. In the name of Jesus, oh, Father God, I thank you that we are overcomers in you because you overcame death, hell, and the grave. We will do the same in Jesus' name. We loose ourselves from every spirit of error in Jesus' name. Lord, let us not operate in the wrong spirit, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. That blood that is against Satan is for us. In the name of Jesus, we reject the mouth of vanity and the right hand of falsehood. We reject every false vision and every false prophetic word released into our lives in the name of Jesus. We bind and cast out all spirits of self-deception. In the name of Jesus, we bind Satan, the deceiver, and for releasing any deception into our lives. Lead us, Father God, and make your way straight before our eyes. Guide us continually, Father God. In the name of Jesus, guide us into all truth. Guide us with your holy eyes, O God. In the name of Jesus, and Father, bow down your ear to us as we hearken unto you, O God. In the name of Jesus, and Father, we are so grateful. Grateful. We come with grateful hearts today that you decided to wake us up this morning, blow your precious breath into our bodies, and we are alive, fully alive, fully alive. We are full of life today, and we thank you, oh God, for the love, your tender mercy that you have for your people, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you today, oh God, for making the path straight, teaching us to do your will, and leading us in the land of the upright. Oh, we are grateful, Father God. Oh, Father God, we put on the garments of praise today, oh God. We say praise, and thanksgiving belong to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you that this is a wonderful day that you've given us to praise you, to honor you, oh God. In the name of Jesus, the Father, your word says even your voice is majestic. Your word in Psalms 29 says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. So, Father God, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, we give unto you the glory due to your name. We worship you in the beauty of holiness, O God. Oh, Father God, the voice of you is upon many waters, and the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon the waters, many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful, and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Now, Father, we love to call upon your name. We love to speak to you because of the relationship that we have with you, but we love to hear your voice even more than we love to speak to you, O God. In the name of Jesus, your word says your voice is so powerful, so strong, it could break cedars in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, O God, that you make it them also to skip like a cat, Lebanon and Syria like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And in your temple, everyone speak of your glory. Oh, Father God, we come today speaking about your glory, your glory, your glory, oh God. We can't do without it, Father God. We are existing because of your glory, because of your mercy, because of your goodness. You are tender and kind towards us. You are more merciful even than we deserve. We repent before you, Father God, as we bow humbly before you, Father God, as we bend the knee, as we humbly bow even in the spirit, oh God. We say, forgive us, Father God, for all unrighteousness in us. Cleanse us and purge us, Father God, of every ungodly way, every ungodly thought, every ungodly action. Create in us those clean hearts that we need, oh God. Purify us, Father God, as never before. And so, Father, we are thanking you today for your goodness. We are thanking you today for your mercy. We are thanking you today because of your loving kindness. Oh, Father, we are grateful that you, the Most High God, love us, lowly creatures, oh God. Oh, yeah, we call on the name of you, Yeshua. We call upon the name of the Most High God. And we thank you for Jesus, 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 Jesus. That wonderful name, that there's power in the name of Jesus. Jesus, there's resurrection power in the name of Jesus. Every dead thing, Yokoranabaka, in us, we'll resurrect at the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. That wonderful Yokoranabaka name of Jesus. And so, Father, today, we come in the name of Jesus to put on the whole armor on us as the protection that you gave us in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, we come putting on the helmet of salvation, plate of righteousness. Our loins are girded about with the belt of truth. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In the sword of the Spirit is in one hand and the shield of faith in the other. And we thank you that you are our guard, oh God. You are guarding us morning, noon, and night. You're keeping your eyes upon us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, you are supernatural protection. You're the great protector. You are with shepherd, and we shall not want. And Father God, in a world that is full of chaos, you are Jehovah Shalom, a peacemaker. We call upon the mighty peacemaker today because we stand in the need of peace. Oh, we need peace. Peace, Father God. There seem to be wars and rumors of wars on every hand. Every time we turn the news on, every time we talk to certain people, they're telling us about the wars, oh God, and how chaotic things are in the world. But we know we can call upon you because you are our peacemaker. You are our Lord, and you give your servants peace. So we thank you, oh God, that we can even lay down in safety at night and knowing that the God of peace is in our lives and that you're watching over us, oh God, the great shepherd that you are. Father, we thank you for the holy angels that you keep dispatched around us, oh God. You are awesome in all your ways, oh God. You have everything for your children, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, that you are awesome King, a mighty Father, and the best friend that we can ever have. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Well, this is a wonderful day to be alive anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. Well, this is a wonderful day to be alive. And I thank God that we are full of his life today, his Zoe life. So I thank God for you joining us today on Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. This is Caritha Gantling, Sister G, your host. So I thank God, you know, that we can call on his name. Yeah, we can call on his name. But even more so than that, we need him to guide us by his voice, by his Holy Spirit. We need to hear his voice in this hour. He said, my sheep, those who are called by my name, those who call on my name, you know, we hear his voice. So if you are not hearing him, his voice, you got to get before him in the secret place. You got to tell him, Abba, Father, I long to hear your precious, majestic voice. I long to hear that voice that you speak to your children with, oh God. And Father God, you know, you just call on his name. Call on his name. There's power in his name. And I promise you that if you're his sheep, you're going to hear his voice. Just wait on him. Wait on him. He ain't never late. You know, I run late all the time. The traffic light stopped me. I left out late, whatever it was. I run late. But guess what? Our Father is always on time. I bet you he'll show up always on time. You know, he'd be waiting for us sometime. He said, wait a minute now. You know, I know Sister G, she asking for this and that. But you know what? If I give it to her right now, it ain't the proper time. She won't know how to handle it. It'd be too much for her. So, you know, just at the proper time, I'm going to release it to her because she'll be ready for it. I'm going to get her ready for it. So, you know, we serve a righteous king. He ain't no respecter person. He love you. Yeah, you. I talk about you. Yeah, you. And you too. He love all of us. And we are blessed that guess what? He allowed us to return the love. It ain't one-sided. No, it's not one-sided. We can return the love. And you know, some people say, well, you know, how do you love God? Obedience is the key. Obedience is the key. And you know what? Jesus came here and he learned to obey the Father. Guess what? How he learned it? Through the things he suffered. Through the things he suffered, he learned obedience. So guess what? How we going to learn it? You right. You got it right. I know you guys are so brilliant. I know you get it right. Yep, through the things we suffer, that's how we going to learn it. I'm so glad you joined us this evening. Oh, you know, Father God, he's always downloading in us what we need. So you know what he downloaded today? All about destruction and then reconstruction. That's the title today, destruction and then reconstruction. Isn't that awesome? You know, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be destructive. You know, destruction. It don't usually happen suddenly. Sometimes it can now. Sometimes destruction just come upon you and you're not even aware of it. You know, you ever been driving down the street and all of a sudden a car hit another car and it was destructive? You know, thank God the people in the car were safe, and sometimes they weren't. But, you know, we blessed that when destruction comes, we can call on the name of the Most High God. Sometimes destruction comes over a period of time because of poor choices that we made. You ever made some, you know, a choice about something? You had several choices. You could have chosen to go to east, the west, the north, or the south, and then the direction that you chose, it just seemed like everything was not working on that path. And you said, my God, I prayed about it, and I went this direction. I don't know what happened. But guess what? You could have chosen the right path, but, you know, sometimes, no matter what path we choose, sometimes situations happen. You know how they say stuff happens. Yeah, stuff happens. So that's an old saying, destruction. What's destruction? It's a state of being destroyed, ruined, to put out of existence, to kill, to annihilate. we as Christians, all of us gotta be destructed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Is that something new to you? Destruction gonna come our way? Yes, it is. We gotta be destroyed to ourselves. Yep. You know, all the time, myself wanna rise up. I say, wait a minute, Father, I repent. Because I'm trying to do my thing. And you called me in this life to do what you want. So where life, you know, is, where is life's path leading you today? Where is life's path leading you? Do you need to adjust your seatbelt, loosen it, tighten it? Yeah, you know, we got to put on the seatbelt of life. It may be a seatbelt in the spirit. Or it may be a seatbelt in the natural. Destruction of all kinds come. But we got to surrender. Let's look at destruction in the natural realm. Let's look at, you know, our teens or even our in-betweens. You know, those children who, they ain't quite yet a teenager, but they've grown up past being a young child. That's the age. If you spared the rod when they were children, they are probably doing this, sucking their teeth and rolling their eyes and you know, telling you stuff under their breath or maybe out loud. You know, so children have a way of letting you know what page they're on, letting you know what's going on in their lives. They can't hide it, you know. That's how children are. What? They'll let you know, out loud, what they're going to do. They'll tell you, I ain't going to do that right there. No. You know, so if you did not correct the children when they were young, you lost your right to correct them when they got older. And, you know, if you correct them, it'll teach them, it'll save their lives from destruction. So, you know, there's a sign that lets you know that they're on their way to destruction. You know, the signs. Here's some of the signs that let you know the children are on their way to destruction. The school calls you about disrespect of authority persons at school, the teachers, the administrators, the social workers, all school personnel. Uh-uh. Even the security guard they don't listen to. You know, they cut class. You know, the school call you because destruction is on their tail. So they cut class. They left your house now, but they ain't show up at school. You know, after a while, they cut one or two classes. Then they just don't go at all no more. You know, they hang out at their friend's house. They have a party. You know, the parents that work that give those latchkey kids, they show up at their house. They got it all planned out. You say, what you do today, baby? Oh, I ain't do nothing. You went to school? Yes, ma'am. Lying through their teeth. I ain't showed up at school, and you say, wait a minute. I got a call from the school saying you weren't there. Uh-uh. They got me mixed up. Then you and the child show up at school. What you do? Now, you going to take up for them, or you going to stand for right, for what's right? You know, you're taking up for them all these years. So now what? You're going to take care of them until they're 45 because they can't read. They've been cutting class. They don't even know how to read. The teacher said, well, your child is making, you know, D's and F's in reading. Uh-uh, my child can read. They're always on the Internet, but does that mean they can read? No. Did you check them lately? Some people think their children can read. Can't read nothing. Can't read. They're in the seventh grade and can't read first grade work. Why? What you been doing? Don't you know you're their first teacher? So you threaten them, but nothing helps. You yell at them. You scream at them. You warn them. But these things don't help, you know, when they get a certain age. If you ignored, you know, them when they were little, they told you, you know, that, like, you know, you had warnings from the family members. They told you. The church members told you. You know, your children are out of order. You better correct them. But you can't see it. You see it, but you just think it's cute. It was cute probably when they were little, but if you spare the rod, and you didn't train them up in the way they should go in Proverbs 22:6, they told you, you know, in Proverbs, you know, about training them up. Children can't grow up like weeds. You know what? People put more stock in training their dogs than they do in their children. That's awful. They'll take the dog to obedience school, and they will not train their children. Their children having fist fights in school, throwing food fights in school. But, you know, they go up and take up for them. No, we got to stand for righteousness. You know what? We don't want short caskets. We want our children to live out all their days. But if they keep going down the wrong path, the path of destruction, guess what? You know, I know the law says you can't whip them, but guess what? The Bible says you can whip them. Who are you going to obey, God or the Word? Who are you going to obey, God or what the law says? The Bible, according to the Word of God, says, if you beat them with the rod, it won't kill them. Of course, you can't wait till they're 16 now. They're looking down on you. You better do it while they're 6, 3, 4, 2, 1. You can tap them on the head when they're little. It ain't going to kill them. Even on their little, you know, even when they got a little diaper on, tap them little legs. It's not going to kill them. It will train them. My mama said, don't touch that stove. And so when you do it until, they'll remember, oh, mama said, don't touch the stove. Let me tell you something. Babies are brilliant. Have you ever heard of that Your Baby Can Read series? Trust me. If your baby can read, you know they're brilliant. 6, 7 months old can read. They can say, mama, daddy. So, yeah, they can read, which means that they have a high level of intelligence. They understand right from wrong. I'm in them. Guess who put it in them? Mm-hmm. You look at them when they'll watch you. They're going to do something. They're toddling. Now, I'm telling you, they toddling in them little high-top shoes and them little tennis shoes. And they're going to do something, and they're watching you to see if they could do it. You got cookies on the table, and they're going over. Can't hardly reach them. Going over there, getting, they're looking at you because they know you already told them, don't you? Our children are brilliant. Whatever you teach them, they will learn it quickly. See, they don't have to go to a 9-to-5. No, they don't have to go to 3-to-11 like some of us. They little minds are free. So, look, we better fill their minds up with the Word of God. You better put the Word on. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We got to teach them now. You know, you can't go around just, you know, putting all that other stuff on. They learn that real quick. And then all of a sudden they start cussing. And you say, oh, my God, where you learn that? See, you didn't hear it in the song, but they heard it. And they picked it up. I told you, they're brilliant. Now, you know, parents, everybody warned you that your child was in trouble, but you say, no, this bone in my bone, flesh in my flesh, I carried them 9 months. I ain't going to hit them. No, they're too precious to me. No, I ain't going to hit them. I should know better, you know, than anyone how to raise, how to train my children. That's your way of thinking, you know, but that's not God's way. Plus, That's old school. I ain't raising my children old school. My mama raised me old school. I ain't going to raise my children old school. And, you know, it's 2013. You know, it's time out for all of that. And then now they're 16. And, you know, the school came. Now guess who's at the door? Yep, truant officers. Now they're about 21, and they still did not graduate from high school because you didn't enforce the law. I'm talking about the law of God. So, you know, they now halfway grown. They eating and sleeping at your house. And you say, well, you know, I can't put them out. You know, that's my flesh. You better do something quick. Destruction visited this person as an adult. They never heard of inherited curses. This is another person I'm talking about. And if they did, they didn't believe in the curses. They only believed in blessings. They never read what God said in Deuteronomy 28. Well, I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy 28. And I'm going to read it in Deuteronomy 28, what it says. So hold on 1 second. Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to turn there right now. Deuteronomy talks about the blessings and the curses. In case you didn't know about it, I'm going to share it with you today. You know, God is awesome. He blesses his people, but guess what? If you know what the law is awesome, because if you don't follow the laws of the land, it's going to catch up with you. If God's laws, I'll catch up with you. And I know you, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be chastised by the law of the land than by God. No. Oh, Lord. You know, God is merciful, yeah, but he don't play. When God tells you something he ain't playing, you better be listening to him because he's telling you something. So Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 14 says, and it shall come to pass, so listen carefully, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And, now listen to this part, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. All these blessings, now, listen to this part. If you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, bless, hear the blessing, starts in Deuteronomy 28:3. Read it later. Bless shall thou be in the city. I don't know about you, but I live in the city. Now, it's the biggest city in the United States. So I'm blessed in Jacksonville. And blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. That's those children? Yes, it is. Those children you birth. And the fruit of the ground. You know, whatever you've been planting. It could be collard greens, beans, you know, whatever. And the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of all thy kind and the, excuse me, flocks of the sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Woo, your store, your cover's going to be full. Blessed shall thy be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thy be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies, oh my God, I knew I need this, that rise up against thee to be smitten before your face. They shall come up against you in one way and flee in, guess how many? Seven. Woo, we blessed. The Lord shall command the blessings upon you in the storehouses and in all the settlers and in all that settest thy hands unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee as in holy people unto him, unto himself, and he has sworn that as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep his commandments, the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in good, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of the cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, and in the land which the Lord thy swore unto thy fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the works of your hand. Woo, isn't that awesome? And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right nor to the left, to go after any god to serve them. Oh, my. Isn't that awesome? Woo! See how our Father blessed us?
I told you he got blessings, but guess what? Those people who don't believe in curses, it's more curses than blessings. I ain't going to read them all to you. I'm just going to share a few with you. But it's a lot of curses in here. Starting in Deuteronomy, about 16. Then he said, okay, cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field, cursed shall thou be in the back. Now, he said, but let me back up. But if thou, it come to pass, if thou will not hearken, okay, if you won't hear his voice, you know I'm talking about obey. I ain't talking about just hear. You know, your children hear you, but do they obey you? He said, okay, you don't want to hear me. You don't want to obey me. Uh-uh. He said, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe all his commandments, all of them, not some, and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and take you over. Cursed shall thou be in the city. It's going to be just the opposite if you don't do what he say. If you do what he say, you're going to be blessed in the city. If you don't, you're going to be cursed in the city, cursed in the field. Your basket's going to be cursed. You're going to have a limited amount. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Your children, your children going to be cursed. The fruit of the land, your land not going to multiply. You know, your land not going to be able to grow things. So, read them. I mean, it's so many curses here. I'm not going to read them all to you, but you can read them. Deuteronomy 28, starting at 15, all the way through, oh, my God, 68, he talks about curses. So I'm going to read 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto other people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with the longing of them all day long. And there shall be no might in your hand. The fruit of your land and all your labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away. I didn't say that. That's what the word of God says. So read it for yourself. Deuteronomy 28. When destruction comes from disobedience, that's what happens. Do you remember the story of Samuel? You know, Samuel was he became king later on. But Samuel, his mother's name was Hannah. And, you know, his father, they were faithful people. But his mother was barren at first. She couldn't have children. And she used to go to the church house every day. And she would pray and pray. And then she'd pray some more. She was praying and praying every day. Lord, give me a man child. Lord, give me a man child. Well, one day when she happened to go to the church, they call it the temple, she prayed. And she was praying so hard this particular day. She prayed so hard. No words were coming out of her mouth, but she was tears were just running down her face. She was just praying and praying. And so the priest at the church heard her praying. And he saw her crying. And he thought that she was drunk. He thought she was on the bottle, you know, nipping. That's what he thought. But she really was in so much sorrow because she didn't have a child. And she didn't want any child. She wanted a man child. And she said, Father, if you give me a man child, I promise I'll give him back to you. How many of you make promises? You know, I made many promises to God. And some of them I can't even remember. You know, maybe you're on your sick bed and you say, Lord, if you just let me get healed, I promise I'll do this. I promise. Then you get well and you forgot. You say, wait a minute, I know I made a promise to God. What did I make? You better start trying to remember. I say sometimes, Lord, remind me of that promise. Remind me of that promise I made to you. And help me to keep it, Lord. It's better not to make the promise now. So anyway, Hannah was in the church that day, and Eli saw her. So he asked her, you know, what's wrong? She was crying so hard, and he just prayed for her. He prayed for her. And, you know, of course, his prayers got answered. She birthed, her and her husband birthed a man child. And she called him Samuel.
you know, that precious little boy, Samuel. You know, God is, you know, when we're specific with God, he's specific with us. She asked for a man child. She didn't say, Lord, just give me a child. Any child will do. No, no, no. She wanted some specific child. Now, she wanted him to have certain blessings. So she said, Lord, I'm going to give him back to you. So that's what she did. After she weaned him off of breast milk, and, you know, she and her husband, you know, I know she was training him up in the way that he should go. So when he got a certain age, she took him back to the temple where priest Eli was. And priest Eli trained him in the way that he should go. And what Hannah and her husband used to visit him yearly. She would make him a little coat or different little things. You know, one of the little care packages, you know, your child is away. You say, well, I know my child like this. I'm going to put this in it. I know my child like this. So, you know, she was a mother. A mother. But she had promised God that she, you know, her first child. Can you imagine? Most people say, okay, God, I'm going to give you like the fifth one. But you know, my first one, that's the only one. Lord, I got to keep that. I got to keep this child. But no, she gave God her first. Her first. That's what we have to do. Give God our first increase. First. Our best. He was her best. That was her first. So anyway, she took in the priest Eli, and as Samuel grew up, Eli trained him in the things of God. Eli was a priest. He knew God's ways. And as he got older, Eli stopped training his own children. He stopped disciplining his own children. Even though he disciplined and trained Samuel, he neglected to train, to instruct, and to teach his own flesh and blood, bone to his bone. He neglected to do it. And he did not discipline them. So priest Eli, he trained Samuel, though. Samuel became a mighty man of God. And God used Samuel. One day, you know, Samuel told Eli, he said, he thought he heard Eli calling. And he said, he heard this voice say, he got up, he said, you called me? You know the story. Go back and read the story. But anyway, to make a long story short, after God spoke to Samuel, he gave him, even as a child, he gave him an important assignment. He gave him an important assignment. And he said, I want you to tell priest Eli that he must talk to his children, he must, his children, and he must tell them to straighten up and tell him if he don't, I'm going to kill him, and I'm going to kill his children. Well, you know, some people are real hard-headed, even if they hear nothing. You know, people go and prophesy to people, and they go like, what are they prophesying to me? But, you know, Eli was so far from God, he had strayed away from God. He had disobeyed God, even though he was a priest. There are many leaders in the body of Christ that are straight away from God. I mean, they go on about their routines, but they don't have the relationship with the one who put them in that place. So Eli didn't have that relationship anymore. And Samuel's words came true. Samuel called and he said, wait a minute now. Samuel said, wait a minute. He said, here's what I want you to know. He said, first, Samuel didn't want to tell Eli. Eli said, I want you to tell me what God told you. And he said, now don't leave out nothing. But guess what? When he told him, oh, my God, not long after he told him, somebody came and told Eli his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, had dropped dead. And you know what? The sad thing about it, Eli dropped dead right after that. So, you know, we got to train our children up. We got leaders. We got to do what God says. Even if you don't feel like it, you got to do what God says. Now, you know, there's another story. The story of Samuel and Eli, that was in the Old Testament.
But there's another story in the New Testament. This story is about, you know what a prodigal child is? Prodigal. You heard a prodigal son before. Prodigal means a wasteful person. One who spends, you know, you got a lot of big money. Just giving to his friends and spending it foolishly. You know, whatever he wanted to buy. If he wanted to buy 3 pink suits or 50 pair of red shoes, whatever, just because he got the money. Just wasteful. So, you know, the prodigal son, the story is in Luke, the 15th chapter. Now, I'm talking about destruction today. You know, we're talking about destruction and reconstruction. So, what happened was the prodigal son, you can read about him in Luke 15. Luke, the 15th chapter, starting in verse 11. Some people call it the lost son or the prodigal son. So, it's in Luke 15, verse 11. And Jesus said, a man had 2 sons. Now, this is a parable. A man had 2 sons. The younger son said to his father, Father, give me my share of the property. So the father divided his property between his 2 sons. After a few days, the younger son gathered his possessions and left for a faraway country, faraway home, country, whatever you want to call it. There he wasted everything he had on his lifestyle. Now, you know, he was a big-time spender, probably gambling, friends. You know, he had plenty of friends now. See, when you got plenty of money, you got plenty of friends. You broke, you can't find nobody. They all running from you. You know, you be blowing up their phone. They look, they even, sometimes they send you a rejection on your cell phone. Or even sometimes what they do is they'll just tell you, oh, man, you know, I'll help you out, but I ain't got, payday ain't here. Then when payday comes, you can't even find them. So the prodigal son, you know, he was, took all of his money, and then he wasted it on righteous living. Wild lifestyle. You know, wild. Probably smoking weed, buying joints, buying, you know, bags of stuff for his friends, alcohol, throwing them big parties. Big part. Probably went downtown, rented a hotel, lived lavishly, you know, got them big old tubs in it. You know, you probably got to swim in the tub. Spending up all this money foolishly. And you know what? When he didn't have anything, a famine spread through that country. He didn't have anything to live on. So he got a job from somebody in the country. And guess what the job was? What the Lord's job? He was feeding the pigs in the field. No one in the country would give him any food. Now, remember, he had plenty of money at first. He was probably giving them food. But then when he got low, you know, well, it's lower than low. He was really without anything. He was so hungry that, you know, he probably hadn't eaten anything. But he went and started eating with the pigs. Well, finally, he got his senses back. I guess he said, I'm tired of this destruction way of living. He said, you know, how many of my father's hired men have more food than they can eat while I'm starving to death here? So, you know, he came back to his senses. He remembered, you know, when he was out there, he probably didn't even call his dad. Said, Daddy, I'm all right. He probably didn't email him. He ain't texting. He ain't sent a telegram. He wasn't thinking about his daddy. But see, when he got low to it, see, that's how we are with our daddy God. You know, he said, we're living good. God just giving us everything. He's just blessing us in the city. He's blessing us in the field. He's blessing us in the country. And then we forget about him. That's how human beings are. We forget. And then we say, oh, my God. All of a sudden, seems like one day we'll have nothing. We didn't spend up everything we got. And then we call, you know, our friends, and then they see, oh, wait a minute. You know, you even go on Skype and try to get them up, but they won't even put the Skype on and they won't see your face, you know. Or even they, you know, they see your phone, you know, you just answer them. You done sent 25 texts and nobody answered you. Well, that's how it was with the prodigal son. He said, let me go home to my father. And that's all we have to do. We have to go to our father. We have to repent. He said, Father, I sinned against heaven and you. He didn't just say I sinned against heaven, no. He said, I sinned against heaven and you. He became bright and smart again. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. Make me your hired, one of your hired men. So he went at once to his father. While he was still at a distance, his father saw him and he felt sorry for him. He ran to his son. That's how Father God is. And he put his arms around him and he kissed him. And, you know, that's how Father God is. He ain't coming to you with a whole list of everything you did against him. He ain't going to tell you. No, but you're going to come to the realization of it. But Father God, you know, our God is such an awesome God. This is just a comparison of, you know, our God and this man and his son. That's how God is with us. He will meet us coming. You know, all he do is say, come on, stretch your hand out a little bit, and I'm going to meet you. No. All we got to do is meet the Father. And, you know, he got so much waiting for us. I mean. So this Father, he met his son. He gave him a ring, a robe. You know, he had so much for that son. And then, you know, then the devil came through his brother. And the devil said, wait a minute, I haven't been here all this time. You ain't did this here for me. You ain't did this. Oh, wait a minute now. Come on. You know, we can ask the Father for whatever. Jealousy is time out for. You can ask Father God for whatever you want. You know, don't wait till you see whomever getting the Rolls Royce. And you say, wait a minute. And then you just turn your nose up at them. And they wonder, well, what's wrong with my neighbor? You ain't got time to be covetous, nor jealous, nor envy. You'll be glad for people when they do good. So anyway, the prodigal son, just like our father, opened his arms and put his arms around him. That's how our God does us. He ain't going to say, wait a minute, here's the list. No, he don't say, here's the list. No, he does not. He don't have a list waiting for you. You did this in 2010. You did this in 1999. No, he ain't reminding you. But you know what? When you start to read God's word, then you realize, oh, my God, I sinned against my Father, the God of all gods. I sinned. And so then you can, you know, repent. You can repent yourself. You can say, Lord, I sinned against you. I sinned against heaven. Forgive me. So anyway, you know the prodigal son. And you know what? That ring, that's a ring of reconciliation. Father God reconciles us unto him. Isn't he great? Now, you know what? This is a description of the prodigal son. This is when he left home. This is how he became. Self-willed. Selfish. He separated from his family. Sensuality. He just loved the world and everything about it. Spiritual destitution, abasement, and starvation. He got real low. He lost everything. And sometimes that's how we have to do. You know, we destruct. Then, when he went back to his father, oh my God, the rejoicing came. The reclothing, his father put on new clothes. He was reconciled. He returned. He repented. Resolution came, and the realization came to him. So then, you know, with reconciliation, you know, that comes peace, access to the Father, joy, glory. You can glory in the trials you go through, because we're going to go through trials now. Patience, experience, hope, and love. All of those things, you know, happened to the prodigal son. I don't know about you, but I've been a prodigal daughter more than once. More than once, I had to come back and say, Father, Oh, I did it again. Oh, I did it again, Lord. Please forgive me. Now, once you destruct and repent or yield, you know, come back, yield to the Father, then the reconstruction begins. Reconstruction. That's to construct again, to build again, to reform, you know, to reform. So reconstruction takes time. It starts from the inside out. It takes place in the secret place. And guess where else it takes place? You know, you heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yep, that fiery furnace experience. You say, oh, my God, how much can I take? And then it gets turned up, the heat gets hotter. But guess who's in there with you? You ain't in there by yourself now. While you're in there, he's making sure the hairs on your head ain't getting touched. Even the hair on your skin ain't getting touched. Even your skin ain't burned. And when you come out, oh, my God, you smell fresh. You look back. And you say, people say, what happened to you? You say, what you mean? You learn to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. You being reconstructed. And you know, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm laughing so much today. Anyway, you learn to love the Father with all your heart, soul, and strength. And you learn to tell people about the Lord. And they go like, you remember when Coretha was like this? You remember when she was a prodigal child? You remember when? And they go like, yeah, what happened to her? That secret place, that fiery, oh, my God, that fiery furnace. Good God Almighty. It ain't fun. It's not really a laughing matter. But I tell you what, we all got to go there. We all going in there. If you know not, wait a minute. I should put it to you like this. I'd rather be in the fiery furnace than the eternal fire of damnation. We got choices. Yes, we do. Now, let's go to Galatians 5:20-21. You know the Word of God. The Word of God is awesome. It's powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. It can cut. You know, you ever go into a church and you sit down and all of a sudden, the knife start coming at you. The spiritual knife. You go like, oh, my God, it's cutting. The Word is cutting you. And you're like, oh, ouch, ouch, ouch in the spirit, ouch in the spirit, ouch, ouch, ouch. Yeah, it's cutting. It's reconstructing you. So then, you know, in Galatians 5, I left out something. Galatians 5 talks about verse, let me see, 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the flip side, if you have yielded yourself to the construction of God, this is what's going to happen to you, the good thing. You know, I was just talking to my kids last night at Wednesday night Bible study, and I said, baby, why are my babies? They're big. I got my youngest is 4. My oldest is 9. And I tell you, they could tell me the fruit of the Spirit. I said, what's the fruit of the Spirit, baby? Now, you know what? I didn't teach them to learn the fruit of the flesh. I taught them the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, I said, what is it? They start naming love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So last night, what my kids and I did, I took some soil, I went to the store, Family Dollar, bought a bag of soil, bought my paper cup, and we were planting seeds. I planted them before with them, but they didn't grow, but this time they're going to grow. I brought them home, put some water in, they're going to grow. So we plant. First we point to our heart. We say we're going to plant love in our heart. I said, now, plant your love seed in the dirt. Then we're going to plant joy in our heart. And we went through each one of those nine through the spirit. We planted them in our heart first, and then we planted them in the soil. And then we ate them fruit of the spirit in the cereal. You know those little sweet Cheerios? We planted those in our heart, and then we put them in our mouth and ate them. They did, rather. But anyway, they know the fruit of the spirit. But now I'm going to have to break it down to them and teach them how to live it. But guess whose Father God teach first? He's teaching me how to live it first so I can teach it to them. So we're all under reconstruction by the Father. So you know what? I just say, Father, I surrender all to you. You got to surrender. You know, you ever had a child, you said, come on, baby, come here. You did the wrong thing. I'm just going to. And they start hollering and screaming. If they just went ahead and take the punishment, got over it, it would have been over quickly. But no, you got to drag them. Excuse me. You got to drag them, and then you got to wrestle with them and do all. Just surrender. That's all the Father wants, surrender. Then, you know, works of the flesh have to be cut out with spiritual surgery. And it's very, very painful. I mean, I'm talking about painful now. After the purging and the cleansing take place, then finally the fruit of the Spirit start to develop. As we yield more of our will to God, we got to die to ourselves, realizing that, you know, we were sent here on earth to accomplish a mission. And we can't accomplish it in this fleshly body like we are. You know, we got to give ourselves to the Father. We got to do it. We got to crucify the flesh. The Bible says mortify the flesh. Mortify. Mortify, you know what it is? It's killing it. Kill the flesh. We don't like to do it. But when you surrender, it'll be easier. Don't go in kicking and screaming. Just surrender. You say, okay, I am determined to serve the Lord. I'm determined to do what Father God wants. Because he put us here for a reason. He don't want us to live how we want to live. If we would live the way we want to live, we'd all kill each other. And say, uh-uh, so-and-so did this to me, I'm going to kill them. So they did that, they looked at me cross, I'm going to kill them, I'm going to get rid of them. And guess what? Then you wouldn't be here either because you'd be getting rid of yourself as well. So, you know, the Bible says we got to mortify the flesh, kill it. Matthew 5:29 says, and if the right eye, if your right eye is in you, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is profitable for thee that only, that it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, but we got to serve the Father. Your life does not belong to you. Wake up, wake up. Your life don't belong to you. God sent you here with a purpose in you, and he wants you to fulfill the purpose. So when you train your children, you let them know, baby, you didn't just come here to go to school, live, die, breathe, get a job, and die, and go on wherever. Uh-uh. You were born with a purpose. So let's all repent before the Father and be reconciled. I mean, every day I got to say, Lord, in case I... No, I shouldn't say that. I know I broke one of those ordinances or laws. I don't know them. I don't have them memorized. They ain't written on... I mean, I do ask the Lord to write the, you know, the word on the tables of my heart so I won't sin against him. But being human, you know me, want to do it my way. I say, you know, Lord, I want to give my life to you. But then sometimes it get hard, and I say, oh, Lord, you want me to do what? Like Moses said, but I, kick, 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 kick. Well, no.
Let's do it willingly. Let's not be like Moses. Psalms 19 says, who can know his errors? I don't know all my errors. I don't know all the, you know, little foxes that spoil my vine. You know, the ones I do know, I'm like, oh, my God. I got to kill that thing. I got to mortify that. Mm-mm. So, you know, I thank God that we can ask forgiveness. And guess what? He freely gives it to us. Are we blessed? He don't hold it against us. Now, see, the accuser come and point the finger. Yeah, you know you shouldn't have did that. Yeah, you shouldn't have done that either. And even look how you thought. You shouldn't even thought that. But God don't do that. He opens his arms like the prodigal father, wraps his arms around us, and blesses us. He's so happy that we said, yes, Lord, we surrender. So we serve a great God. You know, today, God wants everybody in the world saved. Everybody. He said he don't want anybody lost. So if you know somebody who's lost and you're not praying for that person, whether it's in your family, in your neighborhood, on your job, wherever, you know, you may go to Walmart. Maybe the cashier ain't saved. You know, we got to start talking to people. The Lord is coming back soon, and we can't go to heaven by ourselves. He said we got to love him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and we got to love each other like we love ourselves. When we love each other, we ain't get let nobody around us, you know, be lost or be harmed. We're going to look out for each other. So salvation is offered to you today, boys to men, girls to ladies, and, of course, you know, like I say all the time, backsliding is not no option anymore because you don't want to, you know, come. He say one be in the field, get caught up, one here, one there. I do not want to be left behind. I know you don't either, so backsliding is not an option. So it is time to close, but we have time for a testimony or if somebody want to share something briefly. Press one. Nobody got nothing they want to share? Oh, okay. Hold on, Brother David. Good evening, Brother David. How are you?
Good evening, Sister G. I am blessed and grateful and happy that God let me see another day here on earth.
Amen. You
going to
share something
with
us today?
Yes, I'm going to share, and I just want to share, you know, just we're sharing and not praying, but I don't know how to combine everything. But I just want people to be aware that the devil is going to always attack you. It can be from 3-4 different angles, but he's never going to quit. But it's up to you to know that God is with you. God already prepared you for the battle that's coming your way. And you may not feel like, you may say, but God, why is this happening? He's shaping you and getting you ready, you know, to make sure you're prepared to go to the next phase because he needs us to be strong soldiers. So I just want to share, trust in the Lord, keep your head up, and keep moving forward. That's all I want to share today.
Amen. Thank you, Brother David. I appreciate that. Anybody
Thank
else?
You.
Thank you. Press one. Anybody else want to share anything? Press one. It's a little bit after 6, but we'll take time to listen to you. Good evening, Miss Liddell.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. What about you?
I'm doing great. Thank God for another day.
Amen.
And as the gentleman just said, the devil is still busy, but, you know, we know that God is still in control. And I just thank God for another day, you know, able to do some things that I would love to do and still try to keep in touch and knowing that God is awesome and he's still our Savior. And he loves us, and he asks us to do just be obedient to his word. That's all. And if we do that, I think he'll be pleased.
Amen. Well, I thank God for you, Miss Liddell. How's your family?
They are doing fine so far. Doing fine. It's cold up here, but it's the weather's cold, but after all, we are still warm.
All right. Yeah, I tell you what, Georgia's kind of not too far from us, about 5 hour drive. But
no.
It's a little chilly here today, maybe sweater weather, but it's a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, beautiful day.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for sharing. It's about closing time. I'm going to say a closing prayer for us, and then we're going to close out. But I look forward to speaking with you all on Saturday. It's going to be Children's Day on Bible
mm-hmm.
Story Land. So you got children, grandchildren, y'all
mm-hmm.
to listen in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. In the name of Jesus, you honor your word above your name, and we do too, Father. We are so grateful, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you, who is great and mighty, think upon us in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we come to repent before you in the name of Jesus for everything that we said, thought, or action that's not like you, O God, in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, to create in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit. And, Father God, I lift up every person that's listening today that came on live or even those who listen later in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to bless them and their families, protection, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, safety, Father God, as they come in, as they go out. And, Father, those members of families that are sick, we ask you for healing, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I lift up my cousin in the name of Jesus who just went to the hospital today. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless him, protect him, and heal his body, O God. Purge and cleanse him, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, we believe your report. Your report says he's already healed by every stripe that you took. So, Father God, I thank you, O God, for releasing him quickly from the hospital, allowing him to come back and live a life for you, O God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, for this is just a test, O God. In the name of Jesus, and we just thank you, O God, for being Jehovah Rapha, a mighty healer. We thank you that you are a mighty protector, provider, O God. We thank you for protecting our children, O God, as never before, Father God. We thank you, O God, for even those children who are suffering from since they were born, O God. Those children, Father God, who have never stepped foot outside, can't play. In the name of Jesus, who are born with all kinds of diseases known and unknown to men. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to break every inherited curse from them. Allow them to be healed, O God. In the name of Jesus, allow them to have normal lives according to your plan in Jesus' name. And so, Father God, bless their parents in the name of Jesus. And so, Father God, strengthen them as a family unit in Jesus' name. We continually honor and bless you. Father God, we bind up backlash, retaliation, revenge from the enemy, and we thank you for your covering over us, Father God, and we thank you that you are our banner in the name of Jesus. We bless you today, and we honor you as the Most High God, and we just thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. We thank you that you are our shepherd, and we honor you in Jesus' name we pray. So, Father God, as we go our separate ways, we thank you for dispatching holy angels, our protection and guidance around us. We thank you, Father God, for keeping us sensitive to your spirit so that we can obey you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, God loves you so much. I pray you have a God-filled evening, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. God loves each of you so much. Oh, my God, he loves you. So don't forget, return his love. You know, like sometimes when I'm teaching children, I say, well, I love you. And they just look at me like, huh? I say, well. And sometimes they say, oh, I love you too. But don't forget to show the Father that you love him. Don't just tell him, show him by being obedient, obeying. Well, don't forget to join us on Saturday, 1-619-789-4313, Children's Day. I look forward to speaking to you then and listening to hear the Father's voice like never before. You know he has an awesome, majestic voice. I thank God for you. Have a great evening. Love you.